Okay. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. It's a tongue twister. 1 Thessalonians. So Thessalonians chapter 1. Pastor Lisa, would you read this chapter for us?
Paul, Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. So I put a title there, We Thank God for You, title of a sermon. And Thessalonians is an awesome part of the New Testament. It's two letters. It's written by the Apostle Paul around 50 AD or so. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. It's a place, Thessalonica. He's in Corinth at this time, and he's writing to the church there. He had planted that church, but he's been unable to return to it. The church happens to be, they believe, mainly Gentiles. It's kind of new, because first century churches, a lot of it was converted Jews who became followers of Jesus. Still Jews, but following Jesus. Where this was people coming out of pagan religions or no religion and following the Jewish God, Jesus. And Paul hears firsthand how well the church members are doing. And he fires off a letter to them with great advice on how to live. Thessalonians is all about how to live in the present time, even when they're difficult, by focusing on the future times, which are promised by God to be good. So live in the here and now, but focus on the future. So that's probably one of the overarching themes of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. That's how we get through life, because there's a better tomorrow coming. We may be going through the Good Friday of life, but there's an Easter Sunday coming, right? That's how it works. So I've been reading Thessalonians a lot lately, and you guys let us go away for 2 weeks. What were you thinking? We got to get on vacation for 2 weeks, and it's great to get away. And we really got away because we got away from our phones. We didn't have self service. So there's no text coming in every 30 seconds. There's no phone calls coming in. There's no news updates. We didn't get a newspaper. No, we deliver. My dog doesn't bring me the newspaper at the camp like he does at our campsite, like he does in my driveway every morning. We did get emails and things when we went to town, which was good once in a while, but we were out of the world, which was a really good thing. And God had a chance to really speak to my heart a lot, because when you can turn off the noise, you can hear God better. And it's I'm making changes in my life to turn off the noise when I'm here, and not just when I'm in the woods. So anyway, the Lord impressed upon me these things in the scriptures, and that is this: it's the theme of thankfulness. In Thessalonians, it's woven through 1st and 2nd. There's a theme of thankfulness. And I am, like the Apostle Paul, grateful and thankful to our Lord, constantly thanking him for all he's done for us and is doing around us. But Paul is saying a lot more than that. He's thanking God for the church. He's thanking God for the members of the church, the individuals that make up the church. And as I've studied this, the Lord showed me that's something that I've been remiss at. I've neglected to convey to you all here at Living Water Church how proud I am of you for your faith and your service to our Lord. So I'm going to reread this passage, and I might substitute a word here and there. It's okay to mess with Scripture, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no? So I think you'll give me a little grace here, just to make it more personable and applicable, okay? So we're going to read verse 1. Ray and Lisa, to the Living Water Church of Chardon, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. I love this. Grace and peace to you, I say. What does that mean? It means grace. May God's favor be upon you and all around you in every realm and in every area of your life. May you have favor in every area of your life. Unmerited favor. And peace. May God's peace be upon you. His supernatural peace, his calm, his contentment, no matter how crazy the world is, no matter how crazy it is on your job or how crazy our country becomes, no matter how crazy your family is, extended or nearby, peace, shalom, peace be upon you. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. I'm not changing Paul's message, just the names. Okay, Pastor Lisa and I constantly pray for each and every one of you, individually and by name, on our knees together at night. But not only do we pray for you, we thank God for you. We thank God for each and every one of you. Again, forgive me for not telling you this often enough. You are a blessing to us and to the kingdom of God. And here's why. Here's why you're a blessing. Verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember before God. You know what that means? It means we thank God for that in our prayers. Three things, right? And did you see it? Did you see them in there? Faith, hope, and love. Do you see that? Faith, hope, and love. We're actually going to have signs in the window saying that soon, one of these days. Faith, hope, and love. And your work produced by faith is what Paul says. We remember your work produced by faith. Listen, we thank God you give as much as you do to God's work. You know, your work can be physical work or it can be financial. Our money is another term you never hear anymore. It's the fruit of our labor. You don't hear that anymore. But if you're giving money, you worked for that. It's as if you swung a hammer for it or whatever you did, or threw a hammer, as it be. but it's the fruit of your labor, so it's still work. And this is a community of givers. You give of your money generously by faith. What does that mean? It means that you, by faith, that God will use it wisely, and also that he will take care of your own finances. Gee, I don't know if I can give this much, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, yeah, actually, I can. That's a step of faith. And you give of your time generously. Your time is, you've heard it said, time is money. You invest in your relationship with God by faith. By faith, you prioritize your clock and calendar and spend precious time at Bible studies, at men's and ladies' meetings, and in serving the poor. You work by faith. And Paul talks about your labor is prompted by love. Your labor is prompted by love. This is so descriptive of this congregation. Your labor is prompted by love. You serve not out of obligation, but out of love. Love for God and love for each other. We've got each other's backs around here. People will do something so that someone else doesn't have to do it. If I don't do that, they'll have to come down and do it. I'll take care of it, even though I'm running late, even though I hear it all the time. There's folks here by 9 every Sunday morning, to make sure this service gets done. And they're the last ones to leave. Why? Because they love the church. They love the church family, and they love visitors that come in too. And you labor on our outreaches, not to get a gold star from Jesus or to tell people about it. You do it, it's a labor of love. You love the people you serve. It's love that gets you out of bed on a freezing Saturday morning to go to Cleveland. What else would? It's love that you, when you're down there in the rain, handing out scriptures, praying with people in their automobiles. It's a labor of love. That's what propels you to serve. It's love that keeps you serving as a deacon or an elder here. Deacon and elders here do things that the rest of the congregation aren't even aware of. They meet people's needs, even outside the congregation. The rest of the congregation is never going to know about it because it's none of their business. It's personal things. But they do it out of love, not because they have to, because they love. And we thank God. We thank God for this, your endurance. Your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for your endurance. You don't quit. You don't quit. You don't drop out of the race. You don't take summers off from serving the Lord. I marvel at the church in America that follows the public school schedule. It blows my mind. It's like summer, we don't do anything. Really? You do things at home. You eat, sleep, and do things at home. You don't hibernate. How is it that you ignore God for 3 months of the year? And then you have back to church Sunday in the fall. It's like, how did we get to that place? You don't do that. You don't take summers off. Your work ethic endures. Why? Paul says it's driven by your hope in the Lord. You serve because he said to, and you feel his pleasure as you do. When you serve God, I heard it this morning. We said, oh boy, you spent your Saturday down here working. And he said, I just felt so good doing it. There's something about it, about serving together. It's the hope of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus says, where you are, there I shall also be. And you meet him in your service. Your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for you. Verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. I love this. Pastor Lisa and I know that the Lord has chosen you to be here among us, at this time and place. Maybe not forever, but you're here now. And watch this. The gospel we've taught you hasn't been just words on a page. No, we've seen the power of God here. We're open to that. We say it all the time. What have you seen God do? Sometimes it's trivial. Sometimes it's life and death stuff that we've seen God do. We have a tendency, I have a tendency even to forget it. People have to remind me, remember that happened 6 months ago? Oh, yeah. We need to remember these things, but we felt the Holy Spirit, we've been deeply convicted or convinced. His Spirit has spoken directly to our spirits. We get that in worship. We get that when the Word of God clicks in our hearts. And God speaks to us not with words, but spirit to spirit. The psalmist put it this way. He says, deep calls to deep. The Spirit of God speaking to our spirit. And it solidified our faith in the gospel. We haven't just preached about God. We've experienced him, the living God. And it's transformed us into a community of faith. And verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You became imitators of us. This is amazing to me. It's your story. You became imitators of us. What does that mean? It means you became students or disciples of ours, of Lisa and I. And it's just like school. When you show up at school at the beginning of the year, you look at the teacher and they're teaching you all this stuff and you say, I'll never understand this. I'll never grasp it. And I'll never surely be able to do what they do. It seems overwhelming. Until one day you realize that the instructor has given you everything you need to know and to do what they do. And the ability, now you can do what they do. Here's a reality check. If you don't believe me, look at your own life. Look at your walk with the Lord. Would you have dreamed you would be this far along with him? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. At what time exactly did you stop looking at your leaders as Jesus fanatics and over the top and start realizing you're right in step with us? You became imitators of us. You became imitators of us. And hopefully, we imitated Christ to you. Proud of you. Verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, or Lake and Geauga counties. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, or Northeast Ohio in your case. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. So, this church, you are a model for churches in America today. You are actually a model for churches in America today. I can't tell you how proud that you make me. Our church gets so many compliments and kind praise when Lisa and I are introduced at meetings, regional meetings, all different things. It's like we're this little tiny inconsequential, in my view, church, storefront church, but they were introduced as Ray and Lisa's church is a model church. They're like the tribe of Benjamin in Scripture, smallest but most powerful and effective. Or they punch way above their weight. This church does. Or I wish other churches were like their church. We've had guest speakers come. And they come and they're just always so amazed at when they see what we're doing, what we've accomplished with such a small group of people. It's incredible. We had a young guy a few years ago. It was his first speaking engagement to come for a ministry. And he came here and he had a great time and we blessed him and off he went. And he called me a couple months later and he says, hey, I got to tell you something. Because he had gone to speak at other places. He says, you ruined me. You ruined me. I said, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? He says, I thought all churches were like your church. I said, what do you mean? He says, they're not like yours at all. They're cold. They're cheap. They, whatever it is. And he thought that that's the way it was. We don't do that. You don't do that. And more often we get questions when we're at these meetings. How do you guys do it? How can you possibly do what you do? Because there's churches 10 times our size that don't do a fraction of what we do, of what we accomplish. For a tiny church, you are well known in our region. As Paul says, your faith has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Do you know what Paul is saying? He's saying this. He says that you and you and you, you are our calling card. Like if you have a card in your pocket and say, this is who we are, it's you. You're the calling card. Your changed life, your testimony, that's what we present with pride to our world. You used to be people of the world. We all were. Obsessed with money, sex, power, stuck in addictions. But now we're obsessed with God, with love, with peace, with justice, with service, and with freedom. You, thanks be to God, you are our beautiful calling card to the world. You're our ambassadors. You're our factory rep that we send out for Jesus and our church. Here's another thing that Lisa and I are impressed with. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. We echo Paul's heart here. And we see it proved out, especially at Bible study. We don't persuade you with our opinions or our beliefs. No, the word of God does. I'm so proud of you because you're growing in discernment. You hear things and you go, mm-mm, or mm-hmm, okay, based on the word of God. That's discernment. It's the ability to judge teachings and thoughts and attitudes to see if they line up with the word of God. I can't tell you how many times people in this church come up to me with a spiritual question, but they actually already know the answer. And they say, well, I think it's this. Am I right? You're exactly right. That's amazing to me because you already knew the answer. Because the word of God is not just in your head. God's written it on your hearts. You're applying it to your lives. Proud of you. So I bless you in the very words of the Apostle Paul with the same measure of pride and admiration. Again, in Thessalonians 3 this time, 12 and 13, Paul says this, and I echo it. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And all I can add to that is, may it be so, Lord.